Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome back into Phoenix, Arizona, where it is a beautiful, balmy, excellent, I think it's 96 degrees outside here at 7 in the morning on that West Coast time. Bill Ryder with you. Game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight. Very excited. Looking forward to it. Thrilled to be hanging out with you. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I almost said Connor can because Connor Green filling in for D-Cell as the producer today. And Connor's great. Crushing it already. Although he did, if I had the moisture in my body to weep a solitary tear, I might have when Connor complained about the 94-degree weather that'll await me in New York City, because it was 111 yesterday here in Phoenix, and it will be 111 again today. And Connor asked me what it's like, and I don't have the words. People of Phoenix, love your city, having a great time. Been here a lot covering baseball, covering spring training back in the day. But my goodness, it is hot here in the summertime. All right, I'm done complaining about the weather. That's it. I'm over it. We're good. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Andrew Bogus on updates. We'll visit with him later. Talked yesterday and a good deal earlier in the week about the Dodgers' depth. And now even with Trevor Bauer out for almost certainly a protracted period of time, and with Dustin May having gone down to injury earlier in the year, they were still the best team in baseball because they had two aces that were healthy. Check that. They have one. Clayton Kershaw to the IL. We'll hit that later in the show. Probably heap even more praise on Shohei Ohtani. Get into Patrick Mahomes. Maybe the only thing that I'm skeptical he can do, and that's teach other would-be quarterbacks to be like him. We'll visit with my buddy Greg Moore, columnist, sports columnist at the Arizona Republic. Buy or sell coming up later in the program. Little alternate universe Matt Stafford 49ers talk later in the show. And, of course, we'll hit some finals. You know, maybe it's the heat going to my head. Maybe it's the jubilation of Suns fans. As you can imagine, everywhere I've gone, every Uber driver, people at the hotel, the multiple bartenders I've had the pleasure to be around, because part of what you do when you're at these events is hook up with people you haven't seen in a while and have a couple cocktails. The overwhelming certainty in Phoenix that their Suns are going to win an NBA championship may have gotten to my head a little bit. But it is hard, and it becomes more difficult every morning that I wake up here in Phoenix, every day that goes on, as we process what this series is going to be and process that game one really manhandling by the Suns. It is difficult to see a scenario where the Milwaukee Bucks get it done. How does Milwaukee close the talent gap to win this series? And that is a serious and difficult challenge for Milwaukee, even if Giannis Antetokounmpo, their two-time MVP, is 100% healthy. He's not. He doesn't look like he is. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be impactful. It doesn't mean he won't be great. I made the Joel Embiid comparison yesterday, and it's the right one. Embiid battled through injury and was awesome, just didn't have the pieces around him. Maybe Giannis can do the same thing, but even if he does, even if he can be the best version of himself, and that's not a guarantee, there is a huge disparity between the depth of the Suns, the shooting in particular of the Suns, the excellence of the Suns, and what the Bucks have to offer. And I like Chris Middleton. He's a really nice player. He is not a star. Not like Devin Booker, who's probably the best player on his team, but the second most important superstar for Phoenix. Drew Holiday's a nice player, impactful guy. But he's not going to be the person on whom an entire series turns. Brook Lopez has had a nice little renaissance. He's fine. He's not DeAndre Ayton. We can do this all day. In order to close that talent gap, Bucks fans, it has to come down to Mike Budenholzer. It's the Budenholzer dilemma. Budenholzer has to outcoach his counterpart, Monty Williams. And a lot of that focus has to be on Chris Paul. And we discussed this yesterday. Chris Paul cannot boss the game, cannot run the game, cannot dictate the flow, at least for the Suns offensively, with the ease with which he did yesterday or 2 days ago. The middle pick and roll, switching at will, getting his way, creating for other guys, scoring 30-some points. I get that slowing down CP3 is not easy, but it is the task at hand. It is the challenge. And so knowing that Budenholzer and his ability to make adjustments is going to be critical to the Bucks having a real chance in this thing. Knowing that you have to focus and put your energy and message when you talk to the media on slowing down Chris Paul, throwing some zone at the guy, fighting through those screens a little bit. I said yesterday, and I'm not talking dirty play at all, I just a little more physicality from Drew Holiday. Make Chris Paul feel that you're there. Make him uncomfortable. Make it hard for him as best. Try as best you can to throw that guy off his rhythm. All of that leads me to wanting to hear Mike Budenholzer talk about that challenge, what they're going to do. They have a plan. What I did not want to hear, Bucks fans, what you didn't want to hear, and you're going to hear it right now, unfortunately, was this.
It's a huge part of the game. You know, they have 25 points from the free throw line. You know, we're a team that prides ourselves in defending and being able to be good defensively without fouling. I can't remember the last time a team got 25 free throws in a game against the Bucks. And then conversely, you know, the way Giannis attacks, the way Chris attacks, as many opportunities as Chris has with the ball. Yeah, no, it's frustrating, but it's part of the sport, it's part of the game.
It's a little early. I know he got asked about free throws. It's a little early in the process of the NBA Finals to be complaining about calls. And I don't want to go too deep into the box scores, but when Budenholzer, when Bud says, I can't remember the last time somebody got 25 free throws, I would refer him to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals when the Atlanta Hawks, who obviously lost that game, got 23. And the Bucks went to the stripe 25 times in Game 5 against the Hawks. I mean, give me a break, dude. Give me a break. Here's what happened in Game 1. And this is the concern that I have. The Suns outclassed the Milwaukee Bucks because the Suns, with almost no resistance and no difficulty, were able to run and execute their offense to perfection. DeAndre Ayton, basically a 20-20 game. Chris Paul, as we told you yesterday, you take Game 1 of the NBA Finals and the closeout game against the Clippers, and those 76 points are the most, tied for the most, Chris Paul has scored in back-to-back games in his NBA career, regular season or postseason. Devin Booker, who was the third most important offensive player for the Suns, almost and also ran in the narrative, had 27, 12 in the first quarter. The problem isn't the free throw disparity. The problem is that the Phoenix Suns, and we talked about this yesterday, got to do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, however they wanted. Chris Paul is an incredible point guard. He is. He's a massive talent. But we've seen him over the years, and he's a great postseason player. We've seen him struggle at times, occasionally. We've seen in this postseason, not a lot, but occasionally Chris Paul have a bit of an off game. The way to do this, the challenge for Milwaukee is to recognize, all right, our star is not 100%. Their stars, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, already went through and came through the other end, their injury issues. CP3 with the shoulder injury, an issue against the Lakers, affected him in that series, affected his team. They won. Devin Booker with the broken nose, compliments of Patrick Beverley in that series, in that last series, and they're going to be healthy. The Bucks don't have that advantage. The two healthiest teams, for the most part, got to the finals, for the most part, got here, but there was no guarantee that teams were going to stay healthy. The Stars were going to stay healthy, and you saw that with Giannis' injury at the end of that last series, and really throughout the series, to be fair, throughout the second half of it. There's a talent gap. James Jones has done a better job than John Horst, and they both deserve all the accolades that come with being the general managers of a team of teams that make the NBA Finals. But James Jones has put together a shockingly, shockingly good squad. And by the way, not that Dario Saric is the world's most important player, but his injury now, his problem with his knee, it is a small reminder that it's going to be a war of attrition. I play a lot of cards. I play a lot of poker. Not well. Not like my brother who goes to Vegas and wins a ridiculous amount of money. But I'm good enough at poker, at least I've played enough poker, to know that when you sit on the table, the guy you want to be in hands with, the person that you want to attack, the person whose money you want to try to take, is the one that sits there and complains about their bad beats and their bad luck. Because that person's a loser. At least on that particular day. Person's not thinking straight. They're blaming the universe for what's going wrong. They're believing in curses. They're looking for people to point the finger at instead of do some introspection. That's true in sports, too. And I understand as these series go on, this is different than the NFL, right? Because that's one game and it's over. But in a World Series situation, and certainly in an NBA Finals situation where we find ourselves, as you've got a game and two, and if teams can scrap enough, 5 and 6 and 7, coaches are going to get frustrated. Players are going to get frustrated. Your nerves are going to get shorter. You're going to have to operate on less sleep. You're going to get tired of people like me in the media asking you questions. I got it. I get it. But to hear Mike Budenholzer complaining about the unfairness of the free throw discrepancy in game one of an NBA Finals, in which Chris Paul had his way with that Bucks defense, in which on the pick and roll there were multiple opportunities for guys like DeAndre Ayton to get to the bucket and get an and-one. When the Bucks gave up almost that many free throws to the Atlanta Hawks in the last series, a series which, by the way, was certainly officiated, if you wanted to argue one way or the other, in the Bucks' direction, is a sign of panic from a coach who a lot of people think is not up to the job. It is not up to the requirements and the difficulties of making the kind of in-game coaching adjustments and really out-of-game coaching adjustments you need to win an NBA Finals, to win an NBA championship when you're not the better team. Now, for a long time, and I don't think I even talked about it much on the radio, because talk about Mike Budenholzer's coaching acumen isn't exactly riveting stuff day in, day out. But for a long time, just personally, I believed and listened to the people around the NBA that I talked to that Budenholzer was a pretty good coach. And there's a lot, in the NBA, there's a lot that goes into it. Managing personality is critical. Player development, absolutely critical. The ability to utilize your stars in the proper way is really important. To connect with guys and how you manage them in the locker room is huge. And of course, also, the ability to be tactical, and strategic and tactical in games. But there's been some evidence to suggest that those doubters is Mike Budenholzer's ability, when it matters most, in these games, in these moments, that they know what they're talking about. Too many times we've seen Giannis, over the course of this postseason, operate beyond the three-point line. Not enough times has he operated like the, I don't, it's positionless now, but the center that he basically is. I mean, he's, and we said this the other day, he's a modern-day Shaquille O'Neal. My buddy Greg Moore, who's going to join us in an hour, thinks he's more like a modern-day Dwight Howard. But you haven't seen Giannis operate in the paint as much as he should. And I have some doubts that you're going to see the Milwaukee Bucks successfully adjust and disrupt what Chris Paul can do. It's so weird having to say all these nice things about Chris Paul. I don't like Chris Paul. I recognize he's great. I just never thought we'd get to this point where his greatness would find a home where people could take his personality. And it's worked in Phoenix. But he is a marvelously talented dude. And I'm not sure that I believe I don't believe that Milwaukee can win this series, even if they can get at Chris Paul. I think if you double Chris Paul, Devin Booker's going to beat you. But you got to try. I think if you run enough zone that Chris Paul can't do his thing, this was my buddy Avery Johnson's suggestion, former coach of the year, my colleague on TV at CBS Sports HQ. I think those shooters in Phoenix are going to move the ball, find spots, and hit shots. But you got to try something. And the fact that that decision falls into the hands of a guy like Mike Budenholzer, who thinks the free throw discrepancy is the problem, that does not bode well. All of this adds up to the fact that, and I've bragged about this, I'm going to keep bragging about it. I've got Phoenix at 12-1 to win this thing. And I know I'm supposed to hedge. I'm not doing it. Phoenix in 4 or 5, if Budenholzer doesn't figure out what he's doing. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Little UFC news. Little Conor McGregor. We'll talk about that Conor. Not Conor Green, but he's great too. I don't know if Conor Green's tough. Conor McGregor is tough. And we'll get into his next fight in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out. Pretty pumped about this. This Saturday, July 10th, former two-division champ Conor McGregor, and one of the most interesting people in sports, faces off with number one-seeded contender Dustin Poirier in UFC 264 in Las Vegas. It's one of the most anticipated fights in recent memory, and you can catch all the action with Disney Plus. Get the Disney bundle. It's just $13.99 a month. Includes a Hulu ad supporter plan. Terms apply. See the DisneyBundle.com for details. I've already got it. I'm ready. Disney Plus? Hell yeah. Little Black Widow. Little UFC. I'll be in New York City on Saturday. I actually thought about, because a bunch of the sports writers who are here at the finals are going to sneak over to Vegas and try to either be at the fight or at least be in Vegas for it. I talked about with Shohei Ohtani. Conor McGregor's a transcendent talent. He just is. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to him if he wins the fight or not. But if he's in a fight of any kind, I'm in. And I won't pretend to be the UFC expert of the world, but 6, 7, 8 years ago, time flies when you're having fun. I covered UFC for 6 months, and I had the good pleasure to watch and cover and be around McGregor and a lot of those fights, both the Diaz fights, as he kind of made his way into a transcendent sports figure. Poirier is a stud. McGregor's must-watch. Cannot wait. I will be sitting in my hotel room in New York City watching this fight, doing it. I asked the guys if any of them were tough guys or fighters, and it turns out Andrew Bogish actually did a little spell as like a low-level UFC fighter. Are you tatted up? I had drinks with a couple dudes yesterday that I've known for a while and didn't even realize both those guys have tats. I've known one of these guys for 20 years. Are you tatted up?
I keep mine. I am. I just keep them in a place where you only see them when I'm in the octagon, and you have not seen me in the octagon, so that hence you don't think I have tattoos.
So you're the guy, like if you're at a bar, and I don't do this because I'm not a big dude and I'm not a jerk, but you know, those guys who go out there and cause some problems, you're the guy that I want to be with. Because those UFC fighters, man, it is hard to tell how tough they are until the video goes viral. Remember this from a while back, the two football players, maybe in Arizona, who picked a fight with two little dudes, and then the little dudes really hurt those guys? Like, put them in some chokehold and just beat the living hell out of them. Is that you?
I am a secret weapon. There's no doubt about that. I don't really want to promote it too much, and then it loses some of its luster. But yes, you should want me around if you're going to get in some trouble.
So, full disclosure, and this is probably not great for you hockey. I've never been to an NHL hockey game. I've been to minor league hockey games, and it's incredible. It was incredible. So I have to sort of rule that out. But I've been to every other sport, every other major sport, covered the Olympics. I've been lucky. I've been to a lot of stuff. I don't think anything was more captivating in person and pulled me in a way that makes me a fan now on TV as well, like UFC. Because when I started covering it, sort of filling in when I was at FoxSports.com, it was just a favor, right? So our UFC guy quit. They didn't hire anybody for a while, so we sort of took turns. It is incredible. Have you caught a UFC fight, Bogish, in New York City now that they're they're able to come to the Empire State?
I have not. Two of my good friends from college, guys I live with for multiple years, could not love it more. I mean, travel everywhere, go early so they can be at the weigh-in, everything like that, too. Yeah. Like, they are all in, and they have tried to get the rest of us to go, and I've never gone. Because, to be honest, I don't know that I don't know that I get it enough to sit there and pay money to see it on TV or in person. It's just, I don't know. I'm definitely in the minority here where it just kind of escapes me to a certain extent.
Can't judge you because hockey's kind of that thing for me. Yeah, I will
and
just
punch
say,
you if you judge me too. So don't forget that part.
And I'm coming to New York. I don't want to see your tats on the wrong end of a, you know, chokehold. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I'm not enough of an expert to even know what to say there. It's amazing. I got the Disney bundle. You probably should just get it yourself for all the good stuff that's on there. But if you want to come to the city on Saturday and hang out at my tiny little hotel with all the hipsters, because they got put in like one of these like hipster brand hotels, the tattoos aren't hidden. And they're much cooler than me. But if you want to come hang out, I'm watching the fight. I'm in. Like, it's going to be utterly captivating. I got you. Then we can go start some fights with people. I'll start some fights with people that you can finish.
I'm in. We'll watch a fight. We'll start fights. Stu will come and finish the fights. I love it.
Do you watch tennis? You watch a little tennis, right?
I watch tennis, yes. As you can see by looking at me, I watch tennis and not UFC.
I mean, and that's like, there are just certain athletes for me that, regardless of their level of ability or sort of where they are competitively, I'm going to watch. And I don't know if we'll ever see Tiger on the golf course again, but Tiger plays, I'm in, right? Like, in any match I'm watching. Shohei Ohtani has become that for me. Dude hit another homer yesterday. Now he's got, I think, the most home runs for a Japanese ball player in the majors in history before the All-Star game. What has he got, 32 now? It's insane what he's doing. And Conor McGregor is one of those guys. And for a long time, Roger Federer is one of those guys. And I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not, Bogish, but Federer got destroyed yesterday, and it kind of felt like the end of an era. Not just losing at whatever point in Wimbledon they were at. I think were they in the quarter? I think quarterfinals. He got bageled. He lost 6-0 in that final set.
Yeah, it sucked. I was watching it. In fact, I just typed a Sports Minute about it. I hated every second of it. I love Federer. I let myself get a tiny, tiny little bit excited in the quarters against a guy I thought he would be able to handle and got run out of the gym. And it looked bad. He looked old. He looked done. I mean, sucked.
I kind of enjoyed it, and I love Federer, but I kind of enjoyed watching this young guy do his thing. Because Federer has not looked very good this entire... Part of the reason I enjoyed it is because it was like a mercy killing of sorts. I did not want Federer to bumble his way to the final and lose to Novak like 6-1, 6-0, 6-0. Because that's what felt like was coming. I don't like Djokovic.
Instead, it came in two rounds before that.
Yeah, against a guy named Herko Hurtowicz. I don't even know how to say his name. Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, good for that Hungarian dude, but oh, my God. So my point is, you don't know when the greats suddenly can't even be out there, right? Like, Tiger's not Tiger or wasn't before the accident, but he could still swing a club, and he was still fun to watch. He wasn't to the point where he was embarrassing himself. Not yet. Conor McGregor, you got limited time. Don't be like me, where I got to soccer late. And I'm like, I could have been watching Messi all these years. This is the chance, bro. You and me, Saturday night, watching little Conor McGregor. Probably get manhandled against Poirier, but we'll see. Maybe not. He might get Federer, bro, but I don't know. Hold on to some hope.
Can we also ask him to start it earlier? Because I go to sleep very early these days to watch tennis early in the morning. So can we get this like a 6 p.m. Eastern time start? Is that possible? Because it'd be a dinner date.
We got two things we can do. We can ask. I mean, I do know Dana White. I actually have his phone number. He tends to text back 1 out of 12 times, which is sad that I know that number because I shouldn't be texting somebody 11 times who doesn't get back to me. I can ask. Also, and maybe we can have Connor Green, who's filling in for D-Cell, work on this. I don't know. But maybe we could research whether there's a technology that can tape record digitally things like the tennis. And I don't know if they're, you know, we call it like a Tele or TiVo. I don't know. We'd have to come up with a name, a TiVo something. And then you could wake up at like 2 in the afternoon, reeking of whiskey, apologizing to your wife. Like, I still can't be a good husband because I've got the tape recorded tennis I got to go watch now. Don't tell me what happened. My phone's off. I love you. Right. Please don't judge me.
So what you're suggesting is some form of a digital video recorder or like an app that archives live broadcasts after they're live, where you can go back in like a bundle, so to speak, go back in and watch the match there.
I mean, this is crazy talk, but you're onto something. You and
the problem is the timeline. It can't happen by tomorrow or Sunday. That's the issue.
I know you're kidding. I'm not kidding. You come to New York. We'll watch the fight. We'll get crazy Saturday night. I'm off Saturday night, as far as I know, from CBS Sports HQ. I think it's like my one night off. And I'll spend it with you.
I'll do the hits if necessary.
Come on. Yeah. Hey, it's me. Bill Bogus.
What's up, Casilius?
What's up, Eric Casilius? Yeah, the Suns are done. I got to go. You got some UFC. All right, invitation's out there. I know I'm not going to hear from you. You're not gonna, but like, true. I'm just telling you, you want to get away from the family. You got a place to hang out and somebody to drink with in New York City on Saturday night. I got you, man.
Yeah, you're getting ghosted, but thanks for the invite.
I know. The most exciting man in Long Island is not venturing to Manhattan. All right, that's all I got. You should watch Conor McGregor with your wife then. She'll love it.
She actually would. She has some violent tendencies. She probably would like it.
I don't know what it is. There's something about that guy that's just, even when he lost to Diaz that first time, when Diaz had to step in, dude, he's mesmerizing. I think he's one of the 10 most interesting, mesmerizing, captivating athletes on the planet. And I'm not even, you don't have to, he's not likable either, right? He's not like Conor McGregor is this likable guy. But there's just something about him when he fights that is, for me, is must watch. So I'll be doing it apparently by myself in the city while Bogus goes to sleep early to get his beauty rest for tennis. You get up at 4:30? Oh no, you're on the East Coast, so you're getting up at 7:30 in the morning for tennis.
I mean, I'm not getting up at 7:30. I'll be awake naturally by 7:30.
Why? Get that sleep in time, bro.
I would love to know why. I would love to know why.
Are you in a house where your wife makes you get up, or is it just your natural body clock?
No, it's just my body clock, and then like once a kid makes a noise and I'm awake, then I'm awake. I'm not good at going back to sleep. I could be up for a little bit and then take like a late morning, early afternoon nap, but I can't go back to sleep like in that moment of first having consciousness in the morning.
There's a cure for this, by the way. It's called Manhattan plus Bill plus bourbon. I'm just telling you, you give me one night and you will sleep in. All right. All right, Bogus, I got it. What else is other than UFC happening this Saturday, which I really wish I was going to? Other than 264, what we got going on out there? What's shaking in the world of sports?
Well, we've got Champa Bay alive and well this morning.
13 seconds left. Coleman looking to grab it. Dano trying to center it. Knocking it away. Yeti Gord. He clears it. He clears it. I don't think this is going to be an icing. No. 3 seconds left. Petrie, a final shot. The Lady have done it. They have done it. They have gone back to back.
That's Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito on Lightning Radio as Tampa Bay won its second Stanley Cup in 10 months. They took Game 5 from the Canadiens 1-0 in front of 18,000-plus in Tampa last night. Ross Colton scored that goal, and Andrei Vasilevsky made 22 saves for the shutout, his fifth of this postseason, which is why he's the Conn Smythe winner as playoff MVP. The Lightning pulled off the repeat with basically the same roster as last season, but that could change soon, and they all knew it, says head coach John Cooper.
This team, knowing that we're probably not going to be together, this was the end of a special group for 2 years, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen here, but I think that was a huge motivator for our group.
The Lightning are the second team to go back-to-back during the salary cap era. It is the third cup in team history. The NBA Finals back on the floor tonight. Game 2 in Phoenix. The Suns going for a 2-0 lead on the Bucks with one less weapon off their bench. Dario Saric tore his right ACL on Tuesday night. Far from the playoffs, the Pistons said to be open to trade in the number one pick this summer. The Rockets, Cavaliers, Thunder, and Pelicans reportedly interested. Guess who finally won again last night? The Cubs snapping their 11-game slot at 8-3 home win over the Phillies. First baseman Anthony Rizzo.
It feels good. I mean, it just, you know, we're at the highest level in this game and we're competitors and all of us compete at everything, you know, so anything you know, you lose 11 in a row. It just sucked. And to win is just, it's a good feeling.
The Nats dumped the Padres last night 15-5. The Giants 5, the Cardinals 2. The D-backs beat the Rockies 6-4 for their first back-to-back wins in almost 2 months. The Yankees held off the Mariners 5-4, and the Astros beat the A's 4-3 for a 6-game win streak and a 5.5-game lead on Oakland in the AL West. A new state of emergency goes into effect in Japan on Monday and runs well past the Olympics. No fans at all in events in Tokyo, but maybe at the venues outside the city, all because of a 2-month high in COVID cases. MLS history last night. The Seattle Sounders, a 2-0 win over Houston for a record 13-match unbeaten streak to start the season. It's 8 wins and 5 draws. And off the WNBA scoreboard, the Storm sent the Sparks to their 5th loss in a row, 71-62. And the Mercury outlasted the Aces, 99-90 in OT, 33 points and 10 boards for Brittany Griner. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, you really enjoy the Cubs parts of the. I see the smile because I can see you on Skype. I see the smirk. I just have one. Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. We lost a bunch of games in a row. Now we won a meaningless game to break the streak, but we're still terrible. I just want to know, do you slide that Cubs stuff into the Rome update, into the DA update, or is that just for me?
Well, I saved Anthony Rizzo's soundbite just for you, and probably that delivery just for you. But I will certainly mention the Cubs ending their losing streak in a more professional manner throughout the day.
I'm just curious if it's newsworthy for everyone or just when it's an arrow into my soul. Well, just because it does, it shouldn't sting because I didn't have any belief in this team at all this year. But it actually it's successful. I want to congratulate. It hurts every time you do it a little bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank UFC you fighter, right to my sports soul. Andrew Bogish at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. And I think it's at AB will get you on the back tat if you happen to see him in the octagon. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it going. Let's talk little Patrick Mahomes next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the program. Phone number 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Remember, Saturday on CBS, a huge afternoon and evening of sports begins at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, when legends and champions are on the court for the season opener of Big 3 basketball. That's followed at 2 Eastern, 11, out here on the West Coast, with PGA Tour golf action at the John Deere Classic. Then at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, it's another superstar Saturday night, with some of the best drivers in the world going head-to-head at the Camping World SRX Series. That's all Saturday on CBS. Now, what a weird year for Major League Baseball. What a bizarro season, even by the standards of, for all of us, the last 15, 16 months. You've got the sticky tack controversy that's out there. You've got the Trevor Bauer ugliness for the Dodgers. I mean, hell, the two big free agent signings, the two big pitchers for very different reasons at the most important, two most important teams in baseball. Cole with the Yankees and Bauer with the Dodgers, pretty ineffective. I mean, Bauer was awesome while he was playing. But these allegations, as we've discussed here on the show, are ugly and disconcerting, and there's going to be a process by which it sounds like the authorities are going to do their best to figure out what did and didn't happen. He's not playing for a while. And Gerrit Cole was remarkable in his first 11 starts with the Yankees. A whip of, I think it's .83 over that red-hot start, earned run average below 1.5, and he's been the opposite of that, coincidentally or not, and it's hard to believe that it's coincidental, since Major League Baseball announced on actually the day of his 12th start that they were going to start clamping down, he's been terrible. I think it's 5 starts, earned run average over 5. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. They whipped through the roof. Just hasn't looked good. Has looked awful. And the Yankees, and not because of Gerrit Cole, they were what they are now when he was pitching well. They were mediocre. But with Cole pitching poorly, with Aroldis Chapman not pitching well, it's hard to believe and see those guys making a run. The Dodgers were in a little bit different position. Even when this news came out, and Bauer hit the 7-game suspension. It's not a suspension, time away from the Dodgers, knowing, and Dave Roberts just said this the other day, knowing he's not going to be back when that clears, when that timeline clears. He's out for a while. The Dodgers still felt like they were a team, the team maybe in baseball to beat. And baseball, unlike the NBA and unlike the NFL, doesn't necessarily operate in a fashion, in a format, where the team that should win it all wins it all, because there's a lot of variance that happens in baseball in 7-game series. It's a different deal. But one of the equalizers in that, one of the ways to dominate, if you're supposed to dominate, is to have a pitching staff where you can throw one or two studs and really bend these series to your will, if those guys can perform at the highest levels in the postseason. And the Dodgers, to start the year, had four of them. I mean, Walker Buehler is the best pitcher on staff right now this year, 2021. But Clayton Kershaw, Hall of Famer stud, obviously, incredible player. Trevor Bauer, before the injury, great player. Dustin May, before his season-ending injury, was a great player. And so Bauer going away, obviously, from a baseball perspective, problematic, with Dustin May already out. But you look at the Dodgers, like, okay, they've got Buehler. They've got Kershaw. Kershaw hasn't been impacted the way that Gerrit Cole has been in terms of the sticky. And maybe it's unfair. It probably is unfair. I wasn't sure who was going to fall by the wayside when they started to clamp down and impose these sort of surges on pitchers to take away these substances that give them so much grip on the ball that it goes from, I just need to be able to hold these baseballs and not accidentally hit this dude in the face, to I can spin it so much it improves my ability to take on the best hitters in the world by tenfold. Didn't know which guys were going to be like Gerrit Cole and just have their numbers going through the roof, and which guys were going to be fine. And I thought, you know, you look at Clayton Kershaw, older for a pitcher, further in his career, had a lot of success, maybe better at this point than I thought he was going to be, continued to be dominant. I thought, oh, man, you know, maybe. No, he's been awesome. And so the fact that he's on the IL now, that's the news out of L.A., with what inflammation, I think, in his pitching arm, in his forearm, it's the first time it's felt to me like maybe the Dodgers, and we have a long ways to go in the season, the first time I thought maybe the Dodgers, maybe they're going to have some problems, because they are what the Yankees should be, which is probably why the Yankees should seek a new general manager. They are what the Yankees are supposed to be. They're a very, very wealthy team in a very desirable market that is able to combine properly a sabermetrics approach with a player development and scouting approach, and we have more money than everybody, we're going to go out and we're just going to buy the pieces we need. I have a lot of respect for the Dodgers have built what they built. I know that he's hurt right now, but Corey Seager, product of that system. Bellinger, product of that system. Buehler, Julio Urias, even Gavin Lux, not a household name, but a nice ball player. I mean, there's a ton of those guys who are really, really important to what they do. They also went and got Mookie Betts, and then the next year they went and got Trevor Bauer. And getting Mookie Betts, big part of the reason they won a World Series last year. And the fact that Yankees haven't been able to do that, the fact that they look unathletic and old and not very competitive, I mean, that would be fine if you were the Minnesota Twins or the Kansas City Royals or the Oakland A's. You sort of work with what you got. Not cool if you're the Yankees. But now the Dodgers, at least to me, feel a little vulnerable. Maybe Kershaw will be fine. He's had injuries over the years. If you're the Dodgers, you're going to err so much on the side of caution right now, because you don't, I mean, to a degree you need these guys. It's an interesting and competitive division. But it's really September, October when things get serious. And the All-Star game is around the corner, just a few days, what, next Tuesday, if memory serves, if I'm remembering that properly. And so you shut down Kershaw, you give him time, whatever it is, to heal. But to me, it's a big deal. It's a big story. You've got the World Series champs, the reigning World Series champions, and the favorites in the most interesting and difficult division in baseball, at least for me. Padres and Giants are really good and really fun baseball teams to watch, especially the Padres. Trying to chase down a Dodgers team that's won 7 or 8 consecutive NLS crowns. And two of their four best pitchers are gone. Maybe, I think probably for the year. And now one of their other studs, and Kershaw, are injured. Keep an eye on it. Dodgers team is so talented too. All they need are half their aces, and they're the favorite. But you probably need at least two of them to compete in that division and just to try to ride the variance. It's inevitably going to happen when you get to the postseason. I'm not sure I super buy into the Mets, and who knows if the Mets will even be there. Who knows who comes out of the NL East. But again, anything can happen in a playoff series in baseball. And the Brewers are a pretty good team. Kershaw's an important part of that mix. So I love Patrick Mahomes. I mean, obviously, he's a mesmerizing and amazing talent. And he's an incredibly likable guy. And he is not the greatest quarterback of all time. But if he stays healthy, he's certainly going to be in that conversation. I mean, the dude already has an MVP. He already has a Super Bowl ring. He already has a 50-touchdown season as a quarterback. He's amazing. And I wish I could take credit for this joke or this perspective, but it's Connor Green who mentioned this, and it's true. The news out of Kansas City, and this also makes me like Mahomes. What a nice guy. Mahomes is part that the Chiefs and Mahomes are going to partner up with USA Football and some local high schools in the Kansas City area where I used to live, and he's going to do some clinics, which is like really cool, right? It's really cool. And if you're a young dude, if you're a high school kid in Kansas City, in Missouri, it's like, holy cow, Mahomes is going to come. He's going to help me out. And it's not like he has bad mechanics. Of course, he doesn't. But as Connor said, and Connor, you can jump on the mic. I'll give you credit because it made me laugh. How do you teach? Like, what is Mahomes actually? Hey, guys, here's what you need to do. All you need to do is be a world-class athlete and be raised by a world-class athlete and be so remarkably good at sports that you can shift from baseball to football late in your life, and it turns out you're the second coming of whoever you think the best quarterback of all time is. Like, what exactly is he going to teach these kids?
Yeah, I don't know how he teaches kids fundamentals. I think he goes to the kids and says, hey, look, when you're in the Super Bowl and you have seven guys chasing after you in the backfield, what you're going to want to do is dive so you're parallel to the ground with your feet off the ground, almost like you're laying on the ground, but you're levitating above it. And then you're going to want to throw a bomb 40 yards into the end zone so that Sammy Watkins can almost catch it. That's what you do when you're under pressure.
I mean, how many drills do you think they're going to run in suburban Kansas City in which Mahomes says, all right, we're going to have five guys chase you, and I need you to twist and turn and then complete the pass with your left hand, assuming you're right-handed. I just need you to just do the impossible here real quick.
Right, I don't understand. Here, if there's pressure coming, guys, what you do is you run sideline to sideline, back and forth. You make five people miss. Then you throw it 80 yards downfield across your body for a touchdown. That's what you have to do.
On your back foot.
On your back foot.
I was thinking about this when we were talking about Mahomes, and it's really cool, the guy, right? Like, most quarterbacks wouldn't make the time. He's such a nice and likable dude. I'm sure they're out there, Connor. Who are the people that are at the top of their sport right now that are more talented than just naturally gifted in a freakish way than Patrick Mahomes is in his sport? I guess Shohei Ohtani probably fits into that category.
Shohei Ohtani. If you're talking about natural athleticism, you can say someone like Giannis might be.
Oh, Giannis is a good one.
A natural athlete that could be considered to be as good. But Mahomes is more skilled technically, so I don't think you can really compare those two. When you combine natural ability and technical skill, I don't think there's anybody really right now in sports that's comparable to Mahomes.
I might put Shohei on the list. It's just different, right? Because you can be Shohei Ohtani and you can do everything you're doing and your team is still bad. If you're a quarterback at that same level of excellence, you will and can transform that team into a contender. I think Mahomes is there. I don't think there's a team in football where Mahomes goes and they're not, what do we have, a 17-game season now? At least winning 8 of those 17 games.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Ohtani is one of those that's tough because it'd almost be like if Mahomes then turned into a linebacker on the defensive side and had like 10 tackles a game too.
Right, right. I mean, in some alternate universe, this is probably something we could figure out because somewhere in one of the timeline, Earth 321, Mahomes is probably pitching for, I don't know, the Yankees, and he's pretty good, right? He's a really good pitcher, but it's just a different thing when you're a quarterback in the National Football League. It is amazing what he can do. Connor, what's your Twitter handle? I always forget because I follow you.
It's @Connor_Green51.
50, and what's the 51? Because you believe in the aliens, right? That's for Area 51?
No, it's because my favorite baseball player ever is Bernie Williams of the Yankees.
That's a good reason. It's not Area 51? I thought you were like an alien truther, like I am.
I do believe in aliens, and I also am the 51st Connor Green ever born.
That's right. I forgot that. You were the 51st Connor Green. All right, follow Connor on Twitter, Connor_Green51. I'm Bill Ryder, and we're going to talk with Greg Moore from the Arizona Republic about the Suns teams next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
All right, good morning and welcome back into the program. Bill Ryder with you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Phone number on the show, 855-212-4CBS. Got a treat for you. Great columnist at the Arizona Republic. Talented dude. Friend of mine. A guy that I saw last night. And someone I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with, because I thought I had the best Twitter handle maybe in sports media, sports writer, you know, get it? But nope, Greg Moore has saying more. It's really good, Greg. Really jealous. Welcome to the show.
Yo.
What up, buddy?
Appreciate that, dude. It's like I've got the cheat code of a last name, though, right? Like it's.
You do.
I got stuff to say. I'm going to say more of it. Yo, saying more. What can I do?
You got to trademark that. We got to get you that radio gig here. Whoever's listening in Arizona, you've got a built-in radio show name from Greg Moore of the Arizona Republic. All right, so, man, you and I hung out last night. We talked. Well, I guess we'll just repeat the conversation for the folks listening. Let's start here. When did you realize that this Suns team was special, right? Was different, maybe? Was markedly better, maybe? And certainly folks around the country thought they were going to be.
Pretty early on, but I didn't have the guts to say it. So before the season started, they asked us our picks. What are the Suns going to do? And I'm like anti-pick because I don't gamble, and I don't want anybody out there thinking that what I say is like investment advice, like you should put $500 on the Suns because I said whatever. So I kind of push back against it. The problem is I'm always right. Like you said in the intro of your show, it's like, yo, I'll admit when I'm wrong. I have no idea what that experience is like because the next time I'm wrong will be the first.
Okay.
Except for in this instance, Bill. Here's where it happened. I said that the Suns were going to qualify for the playoffs somewhere around 7-8, maybe do the play-in thing, maybe get out of that, maybe they get in at 6, they don't have to do the play-in. Because what I saw was nothing but shooters around one of the greatest point guards in the history of the sport. Like, if you give Chris Paul proper spacing, he's going to get to the elbow. And if you bring an extra defender over, he's going to find the soft spot in the defense for an open jumper. And if you've got guys who are knockdown shooters all around the board, which is what these guys have, I just knew that that was going to be something in today's NBA. I knew they'd be good. I did not know they'd be this good until they started losing close or losing games they should have won. That's when I really knew. They started losing games, and I'm like, yo, if they could figure out how to win these games where they go up by 15, 20 points, they take their foot off the accelerator, and then the next thing you know, the opponent catches up, they win that game, and the Suns, I'm like, yo, if they stop losing these games where they have these big leads, they'll be the best team in the NBA. Sure enough, they started tightening that ship up, and next thing you know, they're right there with Utah for best record.
Greg Moore here on the program. I am wrong a lot, but listeners of this show will know, not on the Suns. I was Suns top four, Hawks top six team, and I got a lot of grief from a lot of buddies around the NBA. So I thought they'd be great. I didn't think they'd be here, if I'm being honest. Although I do, as I think I mentioned, I do bet on sports, Greg, and I've said this stat 1,000 times because I'm going to ride it and brag about it. I do have a ticket, Suns to win at 12-1, that I got in the first round of the postseason. Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. If that comes home, all those drinks last night are on me. So we opened the show with this, and I want your perspective. And you mentioned Chris Paul and everything he can do. If you're Budenholzer, other than complaining about the free throws, which I don't think is probably strategically going to work, seems a little early, what do you have to do? What does Milwaukee do differently, tactically, as an adjustment to try and make it a little harder for the Suns to operate their offense the way they did in game one?
So first of all, Milwaukee doesn't have a good defense. So this is one of those situations where it's like you are who you are at this point, and you got to just do what it is you do. Take a look. They're like 22nd ranked through the regular season in opponents' points allowed. It's not a good defensive team. But they've got to stop switching and allowing guys who are 7 feet tall to try to guard Chris Paul somewhere around the free throw line or the top of the key. That's just silly. Watching Brook Lopez stand on the free throw line, chopping his feet like he's doing some kind of practice drill where the coach says, chop your feet, he's chopping his feet all fast. There's no chopping your feet fast enough to stay in front of Chris Paul. Guards can't stay in front of Chris Paul. So you've got to stop that switch right now. Now, I don't know what you do. I think you probably have to put Drew Holiday on him and say, stay there. And then you have to put P.J. Tucker or Devin Booker and say, stay there. And then you probably have to muck it up a little bit. You probably got to get a little bit dirty. But the thing is, I don't think this Suns team is afraid of that. I think this Suns team can get dirty, and we've seen that happen against the Clippers, against the Lakers. I think this might just be a thing where Milwaukee's either going to have to make a bunch of shots and blow Phoenix out. Problem is Phoenix has a top 10 defense in terms of defensive efficiency and opponents' points allowed through the regular season. I don't know what Milwaukee can do.
Yeah, look, I'm not Greg Moore here on the show from the Arizona Republic. Excellent sports columnist there, longtime friend of mine. Another guy that came out of the Kansas City Star, like everybody else that's been successful in this business, it feels like. Greg, I am not suggesting that you play dirty. I'm not suggesting you go a Patrick Beverley route. But certainly, to everything you said, I'll just add, I want Drew Holiday to make Chris Paul feel him a little bit, right? If nothing else, I want Chris Paul to be uncomfortable. I don't think you can stop him. I'm with you. I think there's just a talent gap that you are not going to be able to broach. I don't think you can do that. But my God, like, get up on Chris Paul and be a little physical with the guy.
Yeah, so there's a difference between dirty play and physical play. You can set a screen as hard as you want to set that screen. You can whip your guy around the corner as fast as you can whip him to crash him into that screen on a proper angle. That is within the context of the rules. Getting up on a guy, making sure you use all five fouls, maybe even bringing in somebody off the bench, Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague is not known for defense, but maybe Teague can just lock in and do that job for a little while. But you've got to find a way to make the guy uncomfortable within the context of the rules. And sometimes that means going all the way up to the edge of what's allowed. And frankly, this is the NBA Finals. If you're not willing to go all the way up to the edge of what is legal within the rules of the sport, you're cheating your team, you're cheating your fans, you're cheating yourself, you're cheating the game. You got to give it all you got. This is the final.
Greg Moore here on the show. Greg, it's been a long time since Phoenix had a championship to celebrate. If you go to the four major sports, it's one in the last 41 years. I was talking a little bit at the start of the show, just being here for a couple days, the sense I've gotten. You live here. You're the voice of this market in sports. What is it going to feel like? Because people were pretty, people were getting their drink on, were pretty happy after game one. What is it going to feel like if the inevitable outcome, I think you and I see coming, that's a Suns championship, comes to pass over the next week?
So let's take a moment first to recognize the Phoenix Mercury. WNBA champion several times over. And so when we talk about the Phoenix championship drought, we got to acknowledge those women.
Is that
who, right?
I mean, I get it. And I don't watch hockey and I don't watch WNBA. And that probably just makes me like an incomplete sports person. But is that, because I don't know, is that a big deal here? Because I don't watch either of those sports. I don't watch the WNBA, even if I should. I don't.
So the WNBA games around here sell out, right? Phoenix is a basketball town. Let me tell you what it is with the Phoenix Suns, and let me tell you what it is with basketball in this market. The Phoenix Suns got here 53 years ago. Phoenix Suns got to Phoenix before it was cool, right? Devin Booker committed to Phoenix before it was cool to do so. Devin Booker was losing 3 out of every 4 games for the first 5 years of his career. The Phoenix Suns showed up before the NFL showed up, before the Major League Baseball showed up, before hockey showed up, before air conditioning showed up, probably the Phoenix Suns were here. And so as this town grew, its love affair with that basketball team grew. And the Phoenix Suns had the audacity to pick a fight with the mighty L.A. Lakers. Now, if you look at it historically, the Lakers win that rivalry. But I'm sorry, if you're the new kid on the block, like if you're Connie Hawkins and Paul Westphal and Charlie Scott and Jerry Colangelo and Cotton Fitzsimmons, and you step up and you go, hey, yo, Lakers, I ain't buying it. You got to come through me. I'm sorry, but that's something that any sports fan can identify with. That's that underdog mentality that every last one of us would hope to be able to summon, should we have the opportunity to summon that in our own lives. And as the town grew, its love affair with the Suns grew, and this championship drought that now dates 53 years for this franchise, if that thing breaks, you're going to see a parade unlike the which you've ever seen before. It will stretch from one end of the valley to the other, and I will start the GoFundMe for a statue outside the arena for James Jones and Monty Williams while they're still coaching. It's going to be huge if it happens.
Yeah, James Jones has done an amazing job. Greg Moore from the Arizona Republic here on the program, sports columnist extraordinaire on Twitter, at Sane Moore. Who's, you're on this team all the time. I'm curious about this stuff. Who's the nicest dude on the team? And I know we don't know these guys, but you know, as best you can, don't say Chris Paul, as best you, or you could, as best you can gauge it, like, what's the vibe of this team like? Who's the guy that you like the most on this team?
No, man, they're all good dudes, right? What I love about it, James Jones, early in his life, right, he's a basketball player, and he brings home a C on his report card. And his mom is Law and Order. She's not buying it. She's like, listen, James, you can get all A's and play basketball, or you can get all A's. And so what James Jones has done is he's brought in a bunch of people similar to that. If you look at these guys, they're all honor rollers. Cam Johnson graduated from Pitt in like 3 years before he transferred to Carolina. I mean, all up and down the roster, these guys are just like Boy Scouts who aren't afraid to get a little dirty and really love to hoop. I love Mikal Bridges, nicest guy in the world. DeAndre Ayton can't stop cracking jokes and smiling and goofing off and laughing and hamming it up with the crowd. If you ever get to a game early, he's out there shooting half-court shots like he's Rick Barry, underhanded style. It's hilarious when he hits one. He sprints all around. The arena goes crazy. There's probably only 5,000-6,000 people in there when he does it. But when it happens, it's a moment. The guy is a lot of fun. And listen, man, don't get me started on my guy Devin Booker, man. The dude shows up wearing those big head championship T-shirts where the bodies are all little. He's driving old-school cars with big fat rims on him. Chris Paul called him the oldest 24-year-old he's ever seen, but Devin Booker's just an old-school dude, and it's just fun to watch these guys. Their personalities are a lot of fun, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Monty Williams. Again, very straightforward. He'll tell you exactly what's on his mind, but he's never going to get to be out of pocket or rude or mean. He's just a very, very good, straightforward guy, and there's nobody in the world who I've ever come across who has a crossword to say about him. These are nice guys, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great group. Greg Moore here on the show. All right, let's leave it here. Since you hate predictions, and I hate them too, but I enjoy asking them, that just let's lean into it. How does this – and by the way, you just got to know, I got a bunch of family in Milwaukee. I got to go to a wedding in Milwaukee where I've been told if I keep saying the Suns are better, I'm going to have to hear about it. So, fam, Suns are better. It's what it is. I'll deal with you guys in a couple of weeks. How's this thing end? Give me your prediction, how many games it's going. It sounds like you think it's Suns and something.
Yeah, Suns in three, right? So this is one of those things where if the Suns keep doing what they're doing, they can break Milwaukee. And that's the goal, right? You want to make these guys quit. And you'll know if they get broken if they start picking fights, because we saw that happen against the Clippers. Frankly, we saw it happen against the Lakers. And we definitely saw it happen against the Nuggets with Jokic tried to pick that fight. I think that was late in game three. But the point I'm making, man, if the Phoenix Suns keep doing what they're doing, it's going to get frustrating. And when it gets frustrating, that's when guys start getting out of character. They start making mistakes. And if the Suns can do that, if they can stay on these guys, they can get them out of here. The one thing you don't want to do is let Milwaukee linger. Giannis Antetokounmpo is entirely too talented. Chris Middleton is entirely too talented. Jrue Holiday is entirely too talented to give these guys hope. Don't let them hang around. You got to get them out of there. And I think the Suns have that mindset.
Greg Moore, congrats. Dude, love all your success. Well-deserved. You're crushing it and killing it for the Arizona Republic. On Twitter, it's Sane Moore, which is a better Twitter handle than mine. It's a better pun than even Tom Haberstroh's Habershow. I mean, it's good. It's so good. Appreciate you, buddy. It was great seeing you yesterday and catching up. And I will see you at that game tonight.
Yeah, appreciate you, dude. Looking forward to it, man. It was great catching up, bro.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Greg Moore, talented dude, columnist at the Arizona Republic. Another one of these guys, talented folks, who came out of the Kansas City Star. Appreciate the insight. And that is, look, I ain't a Chris Paul guy. But other than Chris Paul, it is a great group. It is. It's a really likable group of guys. And I hadn't thought of what Greg said. It's really smart and really on point. Normally, a lot of championship teams become molded in the same light as their head coach, maybe sometimes their star. But James Jones, the guy that played, and what Greg Moore is telling us is that James Jones, the GM for the Suns, molded this team in his image and what he was about in his career. And that has obviously paid off in a big, big way for Phoenix. Phone number here on the show, 855-212-4CBS. We'll do buy or sell, a bunch of stories from sports and a take on each one next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Yeah, Kings, Arizona, very appropriate since I'm sitting in Phoenix. Phoenix is fun. Don't get me wrong. I don't complain about the weather. I'm not even complaining. I'm just telling you it's 111 degrees outside, or it will be in about an hour or two. Great city, though. Having a great time here. Save of the Week is brought to you by Credit Karma. How about Andre Vasilevsky of the Tampa Bay Lightning? He recorded his fifth shutout of the postseason last night as the Lightning defeated the Canadiens 1-0 in Game 5 and won their second straight Stanley Cup. Vasilevsky was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy for his efforts. Congratulations, Tampa Bay. It's a great name. Save of the Week was brought to you by Credit Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Greg Moore was great. First time we've had him on the show. I've known Greg, man, longer than I care to admit. 15 years? Something like that? We both worked at the Kansas City Star. Does an awesome job as a sports columnist here in Phoenix for the Arizona Republic. And really appreciated the insight. Maybe we'll do the same thing next week for Milwaukee. Get someone on from Milwaukee who can give us... I like that perspective and the joy and the insight and the hope that comes with a local perspective, a local view on these teams that are so close to the top of the mountain, right? They're just... And he's right. I think the Suns are going to win, but I've said this all week. You don't know. I thought the Warriors... I was convinced the Warriors... We're going to close out the Cavs in 2016. I get to go home early, see my family. It did not go that way. These things can change. These things can go a different direction. We will see it. Do not let Milwaukee stick around. It's like Andrew Bogut, man. If you let him stick around, all of a sudden, you just can't get rid of him. Let's do this. Let's do a little with Connor Green, who's filling in for D-Cell, who, by the way, D-Cell, if you guys don't know, had a baby boy. Named him William Joseph DeCelestino. I'm not making that up. My name is William Joseph Ryder, so I got to live with the fact that I guess he didn't know I was kidding when I said name your kid after me. That's gonna be awkward when he comes back. And just texted me a little bit ago, just checked in, his baby boy, what, a week old, asleep in his arms just a few minutes ago, which is super cool and super sweet. All right, Connor Green's filling in, doing a great job. You will hear his voice next because it's time for Buy or Sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill. Number one, former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson says he's trying to move forward from his time in Philly after being fired this offseason. In an interview with SiriusXM NFL Radio, Peterson said, quote, "I look back and there were a lot of positives I take from it, but I'm not going to dwell too much on the past. Hopefully if I get an opportunity to coach again, I'll take the good with me," end quote. So Bill, buy or sell, Doug Peterson deserves another head coaching opportunity in the NFL.
Man, I am a, Connor, I am a Doug Peterson skeptic in the extreme. Feels like, undeserving is not the right word, but it feels like the guy captured lightning in a bottle with Nick Foles that year, but won a Super Bowl, head coach, with a Super Bowl victory on that resume. That's forever. I'm a big believer that people can learn from their mistakes. I mean, a lot of the great success stories in sports and in life have remarkable failures as part of their journeys and part of their stories. I'll buy it sort of lukewarm, on a lukewarm level. I'll buy it, Connor.
Buy.
If it's not the, can I do an asterisk? I'm gonna do it. It's my show. I'm gonna do an asterisk. Can't be with the Bears though. Like, I'll buy it for some other team. Can't be with my team.
Only certain teams will you buy this with.
Yeah, I'll buy it with every team in the NFL except the Bears. If the Bears give this guy a second chance, I'm gonna be pretty angry, Connor. I'm a fairly irrational, angry, miserable Bears fan. I don't need any more put into that combustible mix. I'm good on not being good with my Bears. We don't need to throw. Although I gotta figure one overrated former Andy Reid assistant will probably be enough for a generation for the Bears.
All right, Bill. Number two, Rookie of the Year runner-up Anthony Edwards of the T-Wolves suffered a sprained ankle after participating in practice for Team USA. Edwards won't be one of the players competing with Team USA in Tokyo, but is a member of the select team, which practices against the Team USA roster. Luckily, according to reports, the injury is not believed to be serious, but it serves as a reminder of the health risks associated with partaking in the Olympics. So, Bill, buy or sell, NBA teams should try to dissuade their players from participating in the Olympics, this to avoid injury while also allowing them more rest in the offseason.
It's another excellent question, Connor. It really is. And it's a tough one, right? Because you're dealing with the notion of patriotism and doing it for the flag. So, and I actually think for a guy, I'm so glad his injury's not serious. For a guy like Anthony Edwards, I think practice, like being on the select team, I think actually has tons of value because you have young guys who are going to get all kinds of opportunity to grow. But I'm going to buy that NBA teams selectively, situationally, should in fact dissuade guys.
Buy.
At least this time around, because even Adam Silver acknowledged this at his press conference here in Phoenix a couple days ago. The condensed schedule, the oddity of the season, the realities that remain in place for NBA players in terms of the protocols for COVID they have to follow and how that sort of impacts day-to-day life, the weird year that we've had, the injuries that have resulted, all of that for me means, yeah, I want these guys resting and recuperating this summer more than ever, not going straight into the Olympics. I am worried, and we saw this with Paul George, not out of obviously this sort of a reality, but in the normal times, we saw Paul George have a freakish accident. I am really worried about guys at the Olympics being hurt because that's been the story of basketball in the NBA, and it will, I think, unfortunately, continue to be the story when the NBA is done and we're talking about the Olympics over the course of 2021.
Number three, Bill. According to reports, the Pistons are interested in trading the number one overall pick in this year's draft for additional assets. The Cavs, Rockets, Thunder, and Pelicans are listed as possible suitors, and trading down from number one overall is rare but not completely unheard of, as the Celtics traded down from number one overall in 2017 and eventually drafted Jason Tatum. So, Bill, buy or sell, unless there's a bona fide can't-miss superstar available, it makes more sense to trade down from number one, and teams should be more willing to do this in the future.
It's also a good question. It's a hard one because I don't want to hedge. I'll figure out if I want to buy or sell. It depends. I know that's not a... Danny Ainge, even though he's gone, called his shot. And I love... That reference is great. Not only did he draft Tatum at three, he said he made the trade with Philly, and he said we're going to draft the guy we would draft anyway at three. Basically announcing it was Jason Tatum. But in this draft, I'll buy it. I don't know enough about the Pistons GM to know whether or not he is good enough at his job to properly assess what is, for most people around the league, a 4 or 5 guy draft, right? Most people would believe that if you have a top 4 or top 5 pick, you're in pretty good shape. And the assumption based on this report has to be the Pistons believe that either the person who's the pick in the draft is going to be available wherever they draft down. Or there's so little daylight between 1 and 3 or 1 and 4 or 1 and 5 that they're going to get the same kind of value. Yeah, and I'll add this too. I think you've seen the Atlanta Hawks not win, but maybe break even on that Luka Doncic trade years later because Trae Young for Luka, right? You can still make the argument, probably the correct argument. Luka's the better player, but they both have superstars. The other piece that came in that trade was Cam Reddish, who I still think has upside. Really, really raw player. Injured this year, but played really well in that last elimination game. If Reddish becomes a good player, right, just a good player, and it takes a lot of guys 3-4 years to develop, it'll be another reminder that building assets, right, having extra draft picks, is valuable if you know what you're doing, and obviously Travis Schlenk, the GM of the Hawks, knows how to draft. So, yeah, I'm into it. I'm if they can do it properly, it's a very good idea.
Bye.
All right, Bill, number four, five Tampa Rays pitchers combined for a seven-inning no-hitter against the Indians last night. It's the second unofficial seven-inning no-hitter this year, as Madison Bumgarner threw a seven-inning no-hitter as well. In terms of official no-hitters, if you include the Cubs' combined no-hitter on June 24th, the MLB has now already tied the modern record for no-hitters in a season with seven, and that's with the entire second half of the season yet to play. So, Bill, buy or sell, with the quality of today's pitching along with the fact that the ball is no longer juiced, we can expect to see this pitching dominance continue for years to come.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make this the last buy or sell question. This was great, Connor, because I want to lean into Andrew Bogusch believes in no-hitter curses. I'm about to put him to the test. Is Tampa Bay going to lose 10 in a row now, too? Or is he just giving me a hard time because of the Cubs? Buy or sell? I'll sell it. I will sell. I'm with you on the quality of today's pitching and the ball not being juiced, but I will sell. There will be a continued level of dominance.
Sell.
And this is why. I think it's clear Major League Baseball is going to do what it can to make sure there's more offense, because Robert, I don't know what I'm doing, Manfred, almost certainly believes that more runs will equal more viewers and more money instead of, you know, thinking deeply about the structural problems with baseball and making a more relevant sport. By the way, Connor, let's give you a bye just for how good you did on that segment. That was great.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Andrew. Hates the Cubs, Bogusch. Mets fans, get him first place for a minute, and it's all cockiness. All right, Bogusch, you told me yesterday about this no-hitter curse. You were pretty into it. You really enjoyed it. Tampa, huh? They going to one of the best teams in baseball? How many games are they going to lose in a row? What's the curse going to look like here?
Well, this is the deciding one, right? I mean, if they go into a tailspin now you've got to believe that this curse is real. But I think more significant for them is they are from Tampa Bay, and I think that is going to outweigh any negative juju against them. They've got TB12 on their side.
So you think, by the way, they could win the World Series. They could certainly win the World Series this year. And then I think we're going to have to start having a conversation about what is going on in Tampa Bay. Can you imagine if these guys win, this city gets three? How about share a little bit for the rest of us, guys?
I guess LA got two in a row. The series last night was good enough.
The stuff kind of does happen in streaks, though. It's sort of weird how certain cities go on these runs. Boston's done it. LA is currently in the middle of it. I mean, it's going to come to an end in NBA sense, but they could also certainly win a World Series this year. How's New York doing? I haven't kept track of New York's multiple championships across sports.
Right. Yeah.
How's that
gone? It's been
a
while. The Mets, I think, are in position to at least threaten for one this year.
No,
but the
they're
Nets,
not.
As you remember, might have fallen short. The Knicks as well. The Giants and Jets are different levels of terrible. So, yeah, it's been it's been a long time.
Different levels of terrible, huh? Just like.
Yeah.
All right. You think the Mets are a World Series competitor this year? You don't think that.
I mean, the Dodgers are better, the Padres are better, but Kershaw's hurt right now. We don't know what Trevor Bauer's situation is long term. They've just took two out of three from the Brewers, who are in first place in the NL Central. So can they win the World Series? I don't know. Can they get to the World Series? Yes, they could.
Oh, Jim Bowden, I had him on Rome a few days ago. He thinks the Nationals are better. He thinks the Phillies might be better. He doesn't think the Mets are necessarily going to win the division. I'm just passing on some info.
Yeah, that's fine. Wouldn't be the first time that I disagree with something that Jim said. And I think the Mets have not hit their full potential yet. And I am concerned, though. They are lucky that no one around them has had a long stretch that are underachieving to a certain extent. And the Nats are scary, but the Mets still have a lot ahead of them, too. So we'll see who's right, me or Jim.
I actually like the Mets, and I like most Mets fans. And I usually I'm happy that they're successful, but your Cubs jokes have changed that paradigm for me. Now I just want them to fail.
Well, the Cubs won, so you're good now. You're fine.
I don't hate the Cubs. It's so Cubs. It's such false hope. We're not a good baseball team. We're not a well-constructed baseball team. We don't have any kind of a pitching staff. Chris Bryant wants to play probably for the Mets. It's probably not the Mets he wants to play for, but he ain't going to be there in a year. And Rizzo's 83 years old. Javi Baez is basically Max Muncy with more personality. Home run, strikeout, cool, bro. Like, anyway, don't even Yeah, he did it. Congratulations. We have a good closer.
Just trade us Chris Bryant.
I have a quick question for you, then I know we can do the update. I'm just not sure. How important is it to have an amazing closer if you're not good enough to get the game to him where he can close it out? Is that a problem? Is that a problem at all?
It's a contradiction. You're right, because
it's a contradiction.
You need to be winning to use your closer to the fullest extent. So if you're not winning, why have Craig Kimbrell? I see where you're going here. It's a tough spot to be in. So trade him to the Mets as well. We'll take him. Package
you're
two. Kimbrell, Bryant, for nothing.
You're a contradiction. People think you're a nice guy. You throw off nice guy vibe. No, you're not. Not at all. I've learned this the hard way. All right. Yeah. By the way, I'm all about trading Chris Bryant and Kimbrell. Not to the Mets. Now, I was about 4 weeks ago, but not. But I'm. Let's rebuild this baby. Let's do it. Let's go. Just don't trade him to Bogus' team. He's mean. All right, Bogey. What we got going on? What's shaking, bro?
We got an update sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. One goal was all it took for the Lightning to win their second consecutive Stanley Cup last night, thanks in large part to goalie Andre Vasilevsky.
7:46 left. Still 1-0 Lightning. Here's Petrie making his way to center ice. Smooth skating defenseman to the red line. Turns it across the button to Gallagher. Right circle. Shot! Save Vasilevsky. Wow.
That is Dave Mishkin. Phil Esposito on Lightning Radio. Vasilevsky, 22 saves to make Ross Colton's second period goal stand up. The Lightning closing out the Canadiens 1-0 in Game 5 in Tampa. This is the fifth consecutive series that Vasilevsky has ended with a shutout.
It's just amazing. Can't say more. It's not about me. It's about our team.
Vasilevsky awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. He is the third Russian, the sixth non-North American to win it. His team is the first repeat champ since the Penguins in 2016 and 17. Game 2 in Phoenix, about 9.5 hours away. The Suns take a 2-0 lead, or the Bucks get a split. Milwaukee head coach Mike Budenholzer said yesterday it was, quote, frustrating that the Suns shot 26 free throws, his team just 16 in Game 1. A COVID spike has led to a new state of emergency in Japan. It starts Monday, will not expire until after the Olympics. Events in Tokyo will not have fans. They are still deciding on venues outside the city. Baseball last night, the Cubs beat the Phillies 8-3 to snap their 11-game losing streak. The Nats hammered the Padres 15-5. The Yankees 5-4 winners in Seattle. And the Astros beat the A's 4-3. Houston has won 6 straight and leads Oakland by 5.5 games atop the AL West. Top seed Ash Barty into the Wimbledon women's final with a straight set win over Angelique Kerber. Aryna Sabalenka has taken the first set off of Carolina Pliskova in their semifinal. And the Seattle Sounders beat Houston last night 2-0, extending their unbeaten streak to 13. That is the longest to start a season in MLS history. Bill, back to you.
All right, Bogus, give me I've got a long flight tomorrow from Phoenix to New York. I need a TV show to download. Finish Sweet Tooth. It's pretty good. I need something to start. What do you got for me?
Well, first of all, you should watch Step Brothers. Second of all...
Oh, I should watch Step Brothers.
The name just escaped me. It's on Paramount, Kevin Costner, they're cowboys.
Oh, Yellowstone. Yellowstone?
Yellowstone, yeah.
Really? Yellowstone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything other than the name of the show? Like, you want to sell it to me? No? Just Yellowstone. All right.
It's good enough to watch. It's not perfect, but it's good enough to watch. It's entertaining.
Kind of had me at Kevin Costner. You kind of Jerry Maguire'd me. I was actually wondering the other day what Kevin Costner was doing. He's doing a TV show.
That's why I stopped talking. You asked for more, but I knew that Costner and Cowboy should have been good enough.
Should have been. Andrew Bogish, not a nice guy. At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. All right, we'll close out the show. We'll talk a little NFL, and we'll make some predictions for tonight's game next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Writer Than You here on the program. Connor, every show for 4 years... this song has been the music, the last segment. And when the show was on at night and Stuart Kovacs was producing, it was almost 10 o'clock at night, right? So the bosses were sleeping. Nobody was really paying attention at the office. I used to just let it drag out just to mess with Stuart Kovacs, the producer, Stu. And I would go like 4 minutes sometimes and just watch him sweat because I'm a super nice person. And I thought it was super, really funny. How long would I have had to gone today if I just didn't speak before you kind of freaked out a little bit?
If you went about a minute and 15 seconds, then I would start to worry that maybe your mic dropped or something like right. that. So about a minute, got minute it. 10 or so.
I'm just going to keep that in mind for the next time you fill in. Because you also, back then he could see me, right? So I would just be, he'd be like, what are you doing? Like flailing his arms the first few times. In this case, I'm in Phoenix, you're in New York. To be fair, you can't see me. Maybe the mic did drop. Maybe I just left. Like I'm done.
And I remember those days because I'd run the board with Stu producing, and we'd look in there, and it would be like a minute would go by sometimes, and we're like, is Bill, can he hear the studio? Can he hear it?
I love Stu. He's such a great guy. But I did enjoy messing. And to be fair, like, Stu was great at his job, but he was spending so much time at the clubs with the ladies that, you know, it's like, you've got a good life. We can, you know, we can give you a hard time at the office, player.
I didn't realize Stu was doing that at night.
Oh, man, dude, he's like, I'm not a club guy. I'm too old for that. I have kids, right? It's too loud for me. But if you want to go anywhere in the greater New York City area that has a rope and it's, like, hard to get in, you just go, you're in. Like, Stu says the word, and he's the dean of those. It's amazing.
You just walk in and you go, hey, I know Stu Kovacs, and they let you right in?
The thing is, like, I've never tried it, but I've heard that people don't believe you. They don't believe you know. Because Stu is a whole other sort of creature in that. So I think you have to go with him. Or he has to come out and get you. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Pretty amazing. I mean, look, there's, you know, people have people are multifaceted. People really are. Take the Niners, for example. I don't know how I feel about Trey Lance. I actually have skepticism reserve for every quarterback that comes into the National Football League, even Trevor Lawrence. And I know that his upside and the percentage chance that he's going to be extraordinary, forget pretty good, extraordinary is really, really high. I think it is a little lower, and by a little, it's 3% lower, 5% lower, with Urban Meyer as the person who's going to be the steward of his career. But in general terms, you never know with a young quarterback how it's going to work out. In some alternate universe, I have to imagine at least a few of them, if they're out there. I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty. There has to be a version of Patrick Mahomes that's not as successful or not successful because as talented as Mahomes is, and he clearly is a remarkable and transcendent player, being with Andy Reid was the perfect fit for him, and the opportunity it turned out for Mahomes to sit for a year behind Alex Smith was and they knew. I mean, they knew in that organization just from what they saw in practice how good he was going to be. But situation matters. So maybe Trey Lance will be great. He certainly feels like he's in the right spot. There's still, I think, a lot of reason to believe that Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing and is one of those supposed quarterback gurus who actually, he's got a track record. I think he's got more of a track record than Sean McVay does. Certainly more than Matt Nagy, who I think is clearly not particularly good at his job. But a report came out, it's interesting, that the Niners eyed Matt Stafford, which is a vastly different move than going with a young guy early in the draft at that position. So if you presume that Trey Young's going to work out, and for me, you can't. Massively talented, all these guys are. A lot of question marks. Landed in a good spot. For me, I think if I'm the Niners, I think Stafford would have been really appealing. I don't think that there's the level, there's not, in fact, there's not the level of desperation. There's not the condensed timeline for real success in the Bay with the Niners in San Francisco the way there is in L.A. with the Rams. I understand why the Rams did what they did. I think there's so many things that are going to be incredible about this upcoming NFL season. So many questions that are going to be answered that are going to be high drama. How does Mahomes respond to that loss in the Super Bowl? You know, offensive line gets decimated. Head coach's son, in an act of utter selfishness and awfulness, allegedly, as you know, drives into a family and endangers the life of a young girl. I mean, those are things that, you know, off the field, on the field, have an impact on winning a Super Bowl under that kind of pressure. How Mahomes responds, and I think he's going to go through the roof, man. I think it's going to be a 50-touchdown season and maybe more given the extra game. And I think there's a lot of them. The question about Jared Goff. Was he the limited talent that Sean McVay came to see and believe was holding back McVay's ambitions and organization of the Rams? Or, and I think it's 50-50, 60-40, but maybe a little more likely that the or is going to be it. Or is Goff a pretty good quarterback who had a control freak of a head coach who put him in a box and ruined him or hurt his confidence? Look, Stafford's going to be awesome in that offense, at least in the beginning. I think the question on Matt Stafford really is going to be in L.A. What does he do in the playoffs? What does he do at the end of the year when he's playing really meaningful games that matter? There is not a guarantee that being great in the regular season will translate to greatness in a regular season that feels different because the games suddenly matter in the playoffs if you get there. See Kirk Cousins. I said this exact same thing, was it 3 years ago, in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl when everybody was celebrating the Vikings and bringing in Cousins, right? They were a game away from a Super Bowl. They were incredibly close. They had all the pieces you thought. They add this quarterback in Kirk Cousins and supposed to go to the moon, and I'm like, I get it. It's a great signing, but the proof will be in what he can do. Same for Stafford. And I think in the Niners, had they brought Stafford in instead, same thing. You know how talented he is. He's going to work with a head coach. What if in San Francisco, Will, in L.A., who has a reputation for excellence offensively. Stafford's a really talented guy. But there's two question marks there, and I think it's a question mark. There are two question marks that are worth pushing through and risking that the answer is not the answer that you want. The first is, what is he going to be in playoff games, in big, high-leverage moments? That's not been a thing he's experienced in his career. Not really. And how long can he be great? And that's the thing with a guy like Trey Lance is you're playing the long game a little bit. You're showing you have some confidence that not everything rests on this season. If the Rams don't make the playoffs, if the Rams go out in the first round of the playoffs, if the Rams don't make, I don't know, man, NFC Championship game, it's a failure. I think it's a failure, and I think it's an interesting situation for Sean McVay. We talked about Doug Peterson earlier in the show. Does he deserve a job in the NFL was the question. It was a great question by Connor Green and by herself. And I said, yeah, maybe another chance, but it's a maybe. And that guy won a Super Bowl. Sean McVay hasn't won one. You go from being the next Bill Belichick to beat by Bill Belichick to, man, maybe you're the problem. That can happen pretty quickly. We're not there yet with McVay, but we might be. And so it's also going to be interesting to see, knowing now that the Niners eyed Stafford a little bit, whether or not going with a young guy, and you got to pick the right young guy. Lance has to be the dude, and you have to be able to grow him as a talent. The Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky. That's painful. I get it. Yeah, of course it is. Deshaun Watson, who's got his own off-field issues, clearly, and Patrick Mahomes drafted after Trubisky, so from a pure talent sense, what a disaster. But the Bears also ruined Mitch. I mean, they just, I don't think Nagy's that good at his job. I think there's a lot of ego there. I think he put him in a box and ruined him. Right, clipped his wings, ruined his confidence. So we'll see if the Niners, you presume and hope they can manage Trey Lance better. But we're also going to get some insight into whether or not going for Stafford, whether or not making a move for Stafford was the kind of move you should do. We're going to be able to assess, and it'll take a year or two, whether the Niners and going young or the Rams going big and bold was the right call. Man, I cannot wait for the NFL season. And I love the NBA. I love baseball, though it's certainly not an easy thing to talk about nationally on radio. But I miss a little bit of football. Connor Green, are you with me tomorrow? I can't remember.
I am not tomorrow, no.
Got it. Well, you did a great job. Connor_Green51. I wish I thought of the Area 51 thing before. Dude, those UAPs have to be alien, right? Have to be alien.
I think so. I mean, there has to be something out there in the universe beside us. So it maybe those aren't alien crafts, but there has to be something out there beside us. And at some point, they have to have visited Earth at some point.
Yeah, here's the other theory. I have like 30 seconds. Maybe there's an advanced civilization under the water, like Steve the underwater Aqua King, right? And they're just like sending probes up to check us out. Who knows?
Well, Atlantis knows? Might not just be a rumor. It might be actually
for
there.
Real. Yeah, but like, you know, who knows what they look like or what, you know, I'm just saying. It's got to be something. Chernoff, who's gone now, love the alien talk. And by loved it, I mean would send me text messages, enough alien talk. I love Mark, but also love the alien talk. Great work by Connor Green. Connor, thank you. Good stuff. Thank you to Greg Moore from the Arizona Republic. And thank you for listening. My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. And we'll see you back here tomorrow from Phoenix on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.